Title, 90s Sampler Tone Emulation Using Arrangement View Intermediate. Alright, let's build that real 90s sampler tone inside Ableton Live, but we're doing it the way jungle and drum and bass actually got that vibe, not just throwing a bit crusher on a loop and calling it a day. The secret is the workflow. It's a signal path, and it's commitment, limited bandwidth, crunchy conversion, pitch artifacts, a little instability, and then printing those decisions into audio so you start thinking like an old-school producer. Resample, chop, reprocess, repeat. By the end, you'll have a clean break turned into a convincingly sampled, tight but gritty jungle or rolling DNB drum lane, all living in arrangement view. Let's set up the session first. Set your tempo. If you're going jungle, think 160 to 170. If you're doing rolling DNB, 172 to 176. I'm going to park us at 174 BPM, because it's a solid default. Now create a few tracks in arrangement view. Make audio track 1 and name it Break Clean. Make audio track 2 and name it Break Print. This is your commit track, where we record the processed audio. Optionally, make a return track called Room Verb if you want some space later, and optionally make another audio track called Music Print if you want to run stabs or bass hits through a similar print workflow. Drop a clean breakbeat onto Break Clean. Amen. Think, hot pants, anything you like. Turn warp on. For breakbeats, set warp mode to beats. Set preserve to transients, and set envelope to zero for now. Here's why we start like this. In the 90s, you didn't have infinite undo and infinite plugins. The sampler and the desk effectively forced you to commit timing and pitch decisions early. Arrangement view is perfect for this because you can build passes, print them, and edit audio like it's a physical object. Now we build the sampler input stage chain on Break Clean. Think of this as what happens before and during conversion. We're going to restrict bandwidth, add a bit of drive, degrade the audio, then add weight and glue. First device. EQ 8. We're limiting bandwidth like an old sampler output. Put a high pass around 30 to 45 Hz. That gets rid of modern sub rumble that old sampling chains wouldn't really preserve cleanly anyway. Then put a low pass around 10 to 14 Khz. If you want it more vintage, push that down to around 9 to 11 Khz. If the break feels boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Keep it subtle. We're shaping, not scooping the soul out of it. Second device, saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive around plus 2 to plus 6 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then bring the output down so you're not just slamming the next device. Aim so your peaks going into the next stage are roughly around minus 6 dB. This is important teacher note. If you don't gain stage here, you'll get ugly brittle clipping later and you'll think that's 90s. But it's not. It's just broken. Third device, Redux. This is your conversion vibe. Start with bits at 10 to 12. Sample rate around 10 to 18 Khz. Add jitter around 0.10 to 0.35. And keep it modest. Small amounts go a long way. Leave soft off at first, and only turn it on if the transients start getting too brittle. Quick guidance. If you want crisp but gritty DNB, keep around 12 bits and lower the sample rate a bit. If you want harsher, earlier jungle vibes, go closer to 10 bits and lower the sample rate further, but don't annihilate it. You still need punch. Fourth device. Drum bus. This is post-sampler thump and glue, like getting it back through a desk and making it hit. Set drive somewhere between 2 and 8. Keep crunch low because Redux already did a lot, maybe 0 to 20, and often you'll live under 10. Use damp around 3 to 7 Khz if it still feels too shiny. Boom around 15 to 35%, with the frequency around 50 to 70 Hz, but watch the low end because DNB bass will live down there too. And transients anywhere from 0 to plus 10. Depending on whether Redux softened the snap. Now we get to one of the big this sounds like hardware moves, sampler style pitch behavior. In the old workflow, people pitched breaks and just lived with the artifacts. They didn't treat artifacts like mistakes, they treated them like character. We're going to do that in arrangement so it feels like arrangement decisions, not plugin yodeling. Duplicate your break clip across the timeline. Give yourself 8 to 16 bars to work with. Now start changing transpose on some clips. For darker rolling DNB, try minus 2, minus 3, or minus 5 semitones. For frenetic jungle energy, try plus 2 or plus 3. Now here's the trick. Don't use one warp mode for everything. Keep some sections on beats for tightness, but for certain sections, especially fills or transitions, switch warp mode to repitch. Repitch ties pitch and time together in a way that instantly feels more old sampler or tape-like. It's not always clean, and that's the point. A simple arrangement idea you can copy right now. Bars 1 to 8. Keep it cleaner, less pitched, maybe lighter degradation. That's your intro. Bars 9 to 16. Pitch it down minus 3. Slightly darker, more crunch. That's your drop tone. Bars 17 to 24. Do little one-bar pitch moves, like one bar at minus 5 then back to minus 3, just to create movement. Now let's do the part that most people skip. And it's honestly the part that makes the whole thing feel real. Printing. You have two easy options. Option 1 is resampling. On break print, set audio from so it records the output of break clean. Post effects. In some setups you can use resampling, but I usually prefer explicitly grabbing the break clean output post effects so there's no confusion. Arm break print, and record 16 to 32 bars of your processed break. Now you have audio that behaves like sampled output. It's committed. You can chop it, reverse it, fade it, and you stop thinking in endless tweak loops. Option 2 is freeze and flatten. Right-click break clean, freeze track, then right-click again and flatten. That commits the processing into audio on the same track. Either way, the key mindset is, process the clean break like an input stage, then print it, then do a second pass like a mixdown stage. So now we're working on break print. Add your desk or tape-ish glue chain. Keep it simpler than the first chain, because we're not trying to reinvent the sampler, we're shaping the printed result. First, utility. Use it to set level going into the next devices. Aim peaks around minus 12 to minus 6 dB. This gives compressors room to breathe. Second, glue compressor. Attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto. Ratio 2:1 for controlled glue, or 4:1 if you want heavier smack. Lower the threshold until you're getting about 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction on the peaks. Turn soft clip on if needed. Third, EQ 8 for final tone shaping. If you want more weight, do a tiny low shelf around 90 to 120 Hz, but be careful because your sub and bass will fight you. If it's harsh, dip gently around 3 to 5 kHz. If you want it darker, low pass around 12 to 14 kHz. Optional spice. Corpus. Use it super subtly. Tube or plate mode. Tune around 150 to 300 Hz and keep the mix super low, like 3 to 10%. This can add that weird resonant coloration that sometimes shows up when breaks have been sampled, resampled, and played back through less than perfect chains. Now you've got a printed break that sounds like it's already been through a system. Now we arrange it like Jungle and DNB. Audio edits, not MIDI perfection. Start chopping transients manually in arrangement. Use split and cut on key hits. Make quick one-bar and two-bar variations by rebordering slices. Reverse micro fills. A classic move is reversing a snare tail into a transition every 8 bars. It's simple, and it screams jungle. Gate the ambience. If your printed break has noisy tails, you can tighten it with gate, or even auto-filter with envelope-style movement. The goal is that tight, chopped feel, like someone edited it in an old audio editor. Do sampler retrigger effects. Take a tiny slice, like a 1/16 or 1/32, and duplicate it rapidly for a stutter. Keep it musical and controlled. And here's another big authenticity move. Add fades like you're doing old-school sample editing. On slice boundaries, add quick fades, like 2 to 10 milliseconds. It prevents clicks, and it also mimics the way chopped breaks feel when they've been edited and re-rendered. Also try micro clip gain nudges. Pick a few hits and move them up or down by 1 or 2 dB. That hand-edited dynamic variation makes it feel less like a perfect loop and more like a performed break. When you start stacking processing and edits, commit again. Resample your edited print to a new audio track. This is how you get that generation cohesion, where everything feels like it lives in the same world. Let's cover a couple common mistakes so you can avoid the classic traps. First, overdoing redux. Too low sample rate and too few bits can turn your drums into fizzy sand. Jungle can take more abuse than super clean DNB, but you still need punch. If you're losing punch, back off and use EQ and saturation more intelligently. Second, not gain staging. If you hit redux and drum bust too hard, it won't sound vintage. It'll sound like bad digital clipping. Keep levels controlled. Third, warp mode set and forget. If everything is on the same warp mode the whole song, you're losing character. Use contrast. Use repitch in specific moments. Keep beats for the steady roll. Fourth, never printing audio. If you don't print, you'll keep tweaking. The hardware vibe is commitment. Print and move on. Fifth, killing all top end. Dark is good, but don't low pass at 7 or 8 kHz and wonder why the break disappears under the bass. In DNB, you usually want some air left so the drums cut. Now some pro-level upgrades, especially if you want darker, Heavier DNB. Try pitching down the printed break, not the clean one. After you print, transpose the audio clip -2 to -5 semitones. Then use repitch on select fills. That makes artifacts feel baked, like it was sampled that way. Set up a parallel crush return. Make a return track called crush. Put a saturator on it. Drive it hard, like +8 to +14. Soft clip on. Then a redux, maybe 10 to 12 bits, sample rate 12 to 16k, then a Q8 with a low pass around 8 to 10k, maybe a tiny boost around 200 HE if you want thickness. Now send your break to it quietly, maybe -18 to -8 dB depending on how aggressive you want it. This adds density without destroying the main signal. Mono the lows if you need that old vinyl era solidity. Use utility, base mono on, somewhere around 120 to 180 HE. Be careful if your mix is already tight, but this can really lock the drums in. Make space for the Reese. If your bass lives in the 120 to 250 area, dip that range slightly in the break, so the bass can own it. Add subtle noise that follows the groove. This is huge. Put a noise sample on its own track, add a gate, and sidechain that gate from break print. Now the noise opens with the hits. Filter it dark so it doesn't sound like modern hiss. Suddenly it feels like the break was recorded off something. If you want to push the authenticity even further, try the generation loss ladder. Process clean and print once. Then lightly process that print with a tiny EQ roll-off and a touch of saturation, and print again. Each stage should be mild. The stacked result is the color. And here's a cool arrangement trick. Two-speed conversion. Make two printed versions of the same break. Print A is cleaner, higher sample rate, lighter drive. Print B is grittier, lower sample rate, more drive. Then swap them by section. Intro uses A, drop uses B. It mimics how tracks sometimes feel like different sample takes across a song. If you want fake time stretch artifacts without sounding like modern warping, do it on the printed break. Set warp to texture. Put grain size around 20 to 40, and automate grain size only on fills. Use it sparingly. It creates that strained, smeary motion that feels like early digital manipulation. This audio version is shortened for playback.